I claim it for myself. And that is what Paul says in Romans. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead in this sense, as promised, he rose from the dead for you, you will be saved. That is, if you can take hold of the promise. I stress this point very much. Can you? Are you able to take hold of it? Hope comes from the resurrection. And the word resurrection, Paul uses in this same section, Romans 4-8, uses it 10 times. He speaks of the resurrection of Christ, not counting our resurrection, the resurrection of Christ 10 times. You and I, if we are going to have any hope in this chess game against Satan, will come only from the fact that Jesus broke the chains of death and rose. And I take hold of this promise to me. Now the second thing, and we move on quickly, is this. A promise, if you truly take hold of it, what will happen? It means you apply it into your life, do you not? It's going to have a very definite effect in your life. Because if it has no effect in your life, then the promise remains a promise outside of you. It has nothing much to do with you. If you say that you accept the promise, something is going to happen to you. Let's take the case of Abraham. I've already mentioned that he was 100 years old. His wife was 90 years old. God said, I'm going to give you a promise. This time next year, you are going to have a son. So you just say, oh yeah, okay. Thank you for the promise, fine. Over? Well, not quite so over, not so fast. Once you accept a promise, something is going to happen to you. Because for that promise to be fulfilled in you, everything is going to happen in your life. Things are going to change. Things are going to turn around in your life. Take Abraham and take Sarah. The moment they take hold of this promise, something is going to happen, because up to that point in time, they could never produce children. They couldn't. There was a natural deficiency, as it said. They were barren, couldn't produce children. So for the promise to become real in their lives, God had to do something to them, isn't it? God had to do a transforming work in their bodies, so that the body that could not even in their youth produce a child would in their old age, which is even more impossible, produce a child. He had to do something in their lives. He had to bring about an inner transformation whereby the impossible happens. Life comes out of the dead. But that is something remarkable. And let me tell you this. If you say that you accept the promise of God that Jesus rose for you, immediately God is going to do something in your life. Something is going to change. You're going to feel the difference. I wonder if you have ever had the feeling that you slept on your arm and your arm went to sleep in bed. You pinch it, you move it, no feeling. I've had it happen to me once or twice. Terrifying feeling. You wake up and you finally find you can't lift your arm up. Your arm is lying there. You move your body and your arm doesn't move. I've had it once or twice. You've cut off your blood supply by sleeping in an awkward position. And I've actually touched my arm, hit it, and there was no feeling at all. I had to lift my hand and drop down like this. I'm sure some of you had that experience. But have you had the experience when life goes back into the arm? Oh, pins and needles, it's coming alive. You feel something is happening to your arm. And slowly, it's moving. I wonder what Abraham and Sarah felt when God's power came into their lives. Suddenly they felt, hey, something is happening to me. I think we can do it. The promise of God is beginning to be experienced as power in my life. I'm sure you can feel it. I'm sure they felt it. And let me tell you this.
This is the dynamic and the beauty of the Christian life. We don't talk theories in the Christian life, at least not when we are talking about biblical Christianity. The day you take hold of the promise of God, the power of His resurrection, you are going to feel the power of God beginning to do something in your life. You're going to feel something change in your life. Oh, I have felt it. I have felt the power of God coming into my life. This dead corpse began to feel something. First, the prick, stinging of conscience. Have you felt it? The things that you thought were not so bad before, who worries about those things? I committed this and that sin, and everybody commits this and that sin. And suddenly, when the power of God comes into your life, the needles begin to prick into your conscience. You say, you look uncomfortable. Suddenly you have a sense of sin. There is the evidence of God's power beginning, the resurrection power to bring you back to life, the pins and the needles of repentance. You feel powerful conviction inside. And you begin to kneel down before the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me, I am a sinner. And you say, why am I doing this? I'm not a religious man. And then you still can't help yourself. Lord, forgive me. I've been a hypocrite. I have lived hypocritically to this day. Yes, there is the power of God, the pins and the needles. And thanks be to God, you are coming alive. You are coming alive. The Spirit of God is coming into your life and He is beginning to move. And when I hear the testimony of people sharing, like they confess their sins, what moves them to confess their sins in front of everybody? Why? Because the pins and the needles, the conscience is being bothered. Why is the conscience bothered? Because the Holy Spirit is moving in your life and life is coming back into the deadness of your soul. That is the wonderful. If your Christianity is simply an intellectual cold confession, okay, Jesus rose from the dead, hallelujah, I believe it. Don't kid yourself. This kind of intellectual faith in the resurrection of Christ saves nobody. Always remember, Satan believed that historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus long before you did. He believed and wasn't saved. He knows it's true and is not saved. Because the life-giving power never entered. There was never any repentance for sin. There was never turning back and confessing Jesus as Lord. No. That is the second thing. That when you come to Jesus, when the resurrection becomes a living experience in your life, you are going to need to know its effects. You know something happened to you. Things are different now. Jesus has come into my life. And then you will see something else happening. You're going to see in the person who has experienced the life-giving power of Jesus in their life, there is a gleam of hope in their eye. As our sister was sharing earlier, the hope of salvation now comes. There is a flash in the eye. There is a confidence in the step. There is a sense of purpose and of meaning. Like the person who is going to get married. Every day is so good, so bright, so happy. Of course, some people got married so long they forgot what it was like in those days, you see. All that has been covered in dust, and I can't remember so long ago. Well, experience it now, what God can do in your life. It will put a better spring in your step, a better gleam in your eye than ever when you got married. If you didn't get married, don't worry about that either. Don't worry about it, because God can give you more than that, more joy than that. Take the picture of Abraham and Sarah. Imagine this. Can you imagine that old couple? I have to smile, make you think. But can you imagine Sarah gradually, you see, she's becoming great with child. That is something to think about. 90 years old. And you think you're old? You haven't started yet. As far as Sarah is concerned, we are babies, you see. I mean, she's 90 years old. There's nobody here can challenge Sarah. 90 years old and she's getting great with child. And the promise of God is going to be fulfilled. Oh, something fantastic. Out of two dead bodies, there is going to come a life. And that life is going to be a channel of blessing to all the nations. And so you can see, as Abraham looks at Sarah, and day by day, Sarah is moving towards the fulfillment of the promise. Can you see how he walks with a spring in his step? My God is real. He said it could be done. I mean, all my life, I'm 100 years old, I never had a child. Even when I was young and vigorous, I couldn't have a child. And then one day he comes to my tent and tells me, Abraham, next year you're going to have a child. He said, I smiled to myself. God is very humorous. Very humorous. 100 years old, I'm going to have a child. I mean, yeah, it's told there in Genesis. You read it there in Genesis. Abraham laughed to himself. Not because he doubted God. Believe God. It tells us in that section. But he laughed because he thought God is very humorous. He has a very interesting way of doing things. Wait till I'm 100 years old. Then he's going to give me a child. Look at my wife, 90 years old. Christian life is very joyful. Very joyful. So, Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, we rejoice in hope. I wonder whether you have that Abrahamic quality in your life. God has done a mighty work in our lives, and he is going to raise us up on that day. Physically, we have experienced his power, his resurrection power spiritually. And we are going to experience his resurrection power physically on that day. What a glorious message. What a glorious hope. The hope of the gospel, Paul says. That is it. But look at the average Christian today. Do you see that gleam in the eye? Do you see the spring in the step? Or do you see him stumbling along? Who is going to become a Christian through your witness? Think of Abraham and Sarah. Do you think what kind of impact the two of them would make upon the world, in their whole community, in the whole country? I mean, they would be talking all over the country. Did you hear that 90-year-old woman? She's going to have a child next year. Have you seen the two of them? I mean, they are jogging down the road as though they were 19. I mean, the whole country would be talking about this couple. I mean, if they were a Guinness Book of Records, I mean, they would be all over the place. And the newspapers would be having a 90-year-old woman. My grandmother lived to 90. And if you don't remember what a 90-year-old lady looks like, you better refresh your memory sometime. I'm sure Brother Chris, working in the geriatrics, has a good idea what they look like. The average 90-year-old, what they look like. Any gleam in the eye? Any spring in the footstep? My grandmother was healthy, and her mind was clear up to the last minute. But her eyesight was faded. She stooped and groped along. 90 years old. I know what a 90-year-old woman looks like. And can you imagine a 90-year-old woman who is going to give birth to a child? Talk about Guinness Book of Records. The like of it has not been heard in the history of mankind. And therefore the whole country will be hearing about this. And you know what that means? It means that Abraham and Sarah themselves become a sign in the world. They become the sign of the resurrection, whereby God brings forth life out of death. They are the sign. They are the living message of what God can do in the lives of people. Not only will Satan lose the chess game, and how he is going to lose, when Jesus takes the next move for us. It's checkmate the other direction. And every Christian is meant to be a living sign of the resurrection. Just as Abraham and Sarah were in their generation. And to this day, they are still a sign of the resurrection. And I have preached before on the message where the Lord says, no sign will be given to this generation but the sign of Jonah. I have expounded on that. And we are to be the message of a living message of resurrection to the world. Are you that kind of a message? You will not be that kind of a message until you have experienced the power of the resurrection in your life. Until you have seen God's power come into you. Do amazing things to your life. And then those round about you will look at you and say, what is the reason for the hope that is within you? It's as we read in Peter, that people will ask, why are you so joyful in hope? Why is there such a confidence in your life? Why is there such richness of meaning in your life? What is it about your life that makes you different? As they would certainly have asked Abraham and Sarah, this is not possible. What happened to you? What's this hope that I see? What is this child you're going to have? What is all this about? Oh, Abraham and Sarah will be very busy preaching the gospel to their whole generation. Our God is a God who can bring forth life out of death. That is our God. Is there any quality in your life that interests anyone? I am so tired, brothers and sisters. I am so tired of seeing Christians groping around in this world, head down, hanging around. And you say you believe in the resurrection. When did you ever believe in it? When did God's power ever touch your life and make you different? When will everyone look at you and say, there is something amazing about this person? There is a power about this person we cannot tell. And you know who gets the glory? It is God who gets the glory. Nobody praises Abraham and Sarah. They know that this is not possible humanly. It has to be God's power. And if people do not come and ask you, why are you different? Why is that the gleam in your eye? Where is this confidence coming from? Where is this joy coming from? When people at the place of work don't see these things, don't ask any questions, you are in trouble, my friend. You are in trouble. Because then we have to ask the question, has God done anything in your life? Have you experienced the power of the resurrection now? If you don't experience the power of the resurrection now, what gives you confidence that one day God will raise you from the dead? What gives you confidence? How do you know that's true? Maybe that's only a fairy tale. I know that God will raise me up in this body of mine. Why? Why do I have this confidence? Because I've experienced His resurrection power now, here. This is the glory of the message of the gospel. Paul speaks about the resurrection in the past tense, in several places. The resurrection in us, resurrection as experienced by us. For example, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Of Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, or Colossians 3, 1. In all these places he is saying, the resurrection that you have been raised up with Christ, you were raised up, is something that is past fact in your life. We have experienced it. Or as he says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 5, that when we were dead in trespasses and sins, God raised us up by the power of the resurrection in Christ. I can speak about the resurrection of Christ because I've experienced it. I took hold of the promise. I experienced it in my life. Have you experienced it? What kind of Christianity are we talking about? We're all talking theory. We're all talking fairy tales. How do you know it's not a fairy tale? A piece of ancient tradition passed down from generation to generation. You don't know it's not a fairy tale until you have experienced God's resurrection power in your life. Finally, quickly, and we must close. The third thing is this. The resurrection power of Christ. Something we experience in us. But not just for your own sake. We are meant to channel that power to others. Remember, the promise of Abraham, and this is the third definition of faith, the third thing about faith. First is a promise, secondly it's experienced in us, and thirdly it's going to go through us to others. If it doesn't go through us to others, we haven't yet understood the meaning of faith. Because the promise of God is not given to satisfy you and me for our own selfish reasons. God is not a God like that. We are not an end in ourselves, in this sense. But we are a means for the salvation of others. God gave Abraham the promise, what for? For his own sake? No, but that he may become a blessing to all nations. He wants every one of us to cease to be so selfish, to be simply seeking for good experiences for ourselves. We don't live for ourselves, Paul says, and we don't die for ourselves. Now, if you are a Christian who lives for yourself and you die for yourself, then you are a Christian only in name. You have not yet understood that freedom from death means freedom from sin, which means freedom from the self. The promise to Abraham was not just for Abraham. It was that all the nations of the earth will be blessed
through him.
Now there is the other reason why we have a gleam in our eyes and a purpose in our life. We have been given this promise of the resurrection so that we may pass on the resurrection life through the Holy Spirit in us to others. And if you live for yourself at this day, you just do your job for your own sake, you just earn your money for your own sake, you just live for yourself, you don't understand what the biblical meaning of a Christian is. Remember, Paul said, none of us live for ourselves, none die for ourselves. And by us, he doesn't just mean the apostles, he means every Christian. How are you living today? If you don't find it interesting, if it doesn't fascinate you to be a channel of blessing to others, you don't know what it means to be a Christian in the biblical sense. And this is the glorious transformation that takes place. You see, the third point is connected to the second. Because when the life of God comes into our life and changes us, it also changes the direction of our life. Before, it's all inward for me and myself and this and that. But when the power, the resurrection power of God comes in, it changes your direction. You are thinking, how can I live in such a way that I have brought blessing to others? When you pass on to your resurrection glory, will there be anybody around who would say, I bless the day I met you? You were the means of channeling God's blessing to me. The water of life came to me through you. I bless God for the day that I saw you. I bless God for the day that I came to know you. Will there be anybody around? Or will you just pass from the face of this earth and nobody noticed you are here and nobody cared that you are gone? Because your existence made no difference. You only lived for yourself. And you made no difference to anyone else. In John chapter 7, verse 38, the passage that I love to come back to again and again, the Lord Jesus said this, if any man drinks of the water that I shall give him, the water of eternal life, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. There you see the meaning. He will turn us into a channel of blessing. And when I studied this, and from the exegetical point of view, it's very interesting. Because I noticed that the word belly, that is turned out of your innermost belly, the Greek word koilia, that we find in John 7:38, finds its correspondence in Genesis 15, verse 4, where God said to Abraham that your descendants, those who will inherit from you, will be those who come out of your own inward heart. And here we have a Hebrew word, me'im, and me'im is a word that corresponds almost exactly to koilia in John 7:38. In fact, from the linguistic point of view, you will know that few words correspond exactly to each other. There is a certain sphere of meaning which one word in English might cover partially another word in Chinese, for example. But very seldom you have a word that covers completely all the nuances, all the shades of meaning of the same word in one language to another. But I have found, as I check this word, koilia corresponds exactly to me'im in Genesis 15 verse 4, where it can mean belly, or it can mean the womb, or it can mean the heart. Very wide scope of meaning. There is no other Hebrew word that covers all these three meanings of koilia. And so it seems almost, and what I'm getting at is the Lord Jesus, when he is saying this in John 7:38, he is thinking of Genesis 15:4 about Abraham. That is remarkable. God has done a mighty work in our lives. So mighty that through us, the nations of the world will be blessed or will bless themselves. So how will they bless themselves or be blessed? Through salvation, of course. What greater blessing is there than salvation? We are here to channel salvation to the world. In other words, the message of the resurrection is also a commission to us. It is a promise, it is an experience, and it is a commission. These are the three things that faith accomplishes by the power of God in us. May you today experience the resurrection. Not just hear about it, not just think about it, but experience in your life what God can do. Let us pray.